Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday morning to you. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel, Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and I am tired this morning, but the Lord is good, and He's blessed us with a beautiful morning, and sun is shining, and hopefully it won't be really hot and humid today, but hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you had a good night's sleep last night. We are going to be in Psalm 52 today, which has one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite images from the Psalms. I mean, I could say it's one of my favorite Psalms, but that would get ridiculous because then I could just say that about every Psalm. But it does have one of my favorite images from any of the Psalms, a great visual picture of the believer in the presence of God, even in the face of great danger. So let's pray, and then we will dig into Psalm 52 together this morning. Father in heaven, you are our God and our Father. We are safe in your hands as your children. We can trust in you. We can rest in you. And so this morning, Father, as we have been blessed with a new day of life, as we have been blessed with a beautiful morning, as we've been blessed with time in your word where we can gather freely without fear to look at your word and to be blessed together by it, we do pray that you'd speak to us. We do pray that you would write your word on our hearts. May it be an encouragement and a comfort to us. May it shape us, sharpen us, and prepare us for this day to walk with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 52 is written to the choir master. It is a maskil of David. So that word maskil, when you see that in a title of a psalm, it's a word that's related to instruction or teaching. So it's a psalm that's meant to instruct us or teach us in how we should live, usually. A maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. So before I read the psalm itself, just a little clarification on the title here. This is from the life of David, and David was fleeing from King Saul. Saul had sent men to surround his house and to try to capture him, but David was able to escape in the middle of the night and get away, and he went to Ahimelech, the priest, to get bread. He and his men who were with him were looking for some bread to sustain them for their journey, their flight from Saul. Well, Doeg, the Edomite, saw them there in the house of Ahimelech and told Saul. And so this is a sort of an invective, imprecatory lament against Doeg the Edomite, who's really a nasty, nasty character. You read about him in 1 Samuel. Okay, here's Psalm 52. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction. Like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit, you love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you and tear you up from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. So David is distressed. He begins this psalm It really in deep distress and outrage at the actions of Doeg the Edomite. Doeg has reported that David and his companions were in the house of Ahimelech, Saul will actually call for someone who will go and destroy David, and Doeg will volunteer for that service, and Doeg will actually go and kill the entire household of Ahimelech. So the king of Israel is responsible for sending a foreigner, an Edomite, to go and slaughter the household of the high priest of Israel. It's a disgusting episode in the history of God's people, and Doeg is right at the very heart of it. So when David says he's boasting of evil and he's plotting destruction, and he's like a sharp razor, he's a worker of deceit who loves evil more than good, he's not off the mark. I mean, this is true. And this is, you know, we do need to realize as Christians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers, right? Behind evil people, there is an evil force, Satan and his hosts. Behind the speaker of lies is the father of lies. But that doesn't mean that we have to pretend that everybody in the world is our friend, and everybody in the world is a friend of godliness or a friend of righteousness. There are evil people in the world who speak evil and who plot evil. And that's what David is being very direct about. Doeg is a man who is mighty in power and wealth and status. He's in the inner circle of the king. But he is a man who plots destruction, who speaks destruction. But notice, even in the midst of his sort of rant against Doeg, David says what? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. No matter what Doeg plots, no matter what he schemes, no matter what he says, no matter what he does, the steadfast love, okay, the chesed, remember that from yesterday, the chesed of God endures all the day. God's covenantal faithfulness to his own, God's tender mercy and compassion and strong saving love for his own endures all the day. And so because of that, David can know confidently that God will break down such violent attackers of God's people, will break them down forever, will snatch and tear you from your tent, will uproot you from the land of the living. In the end, the righteous will triumph over the wicked. In the end, the people of God will be vindicated, and they will have reason to laugh at and mock those who refused to make God their refuge. In this case, Doeg should have known who the Lord was. He should have known who the Lord was. He should have known what righteousness was. He should have known what faithfulness to the Lord looked like, because he's in the midst of Israel and he's in the midst of the people of God. But he refused. He refused to trust in God, and instead trusted in the abundance of his riches. Now, that's a call of warning to us. Here we need to take a break for a second and say, instead of just continuing to heap scorn on Doeg, who's some guy who died 3,000 years ago, who you and I never knew, we need to think not only about the evil that's out there in the world, but also the evil that's right in here. Because we need to ask ourselves honestly, how often have I known better, but I still refused to really trust in the Lord and instead trusted in my own resources, whatever those resources might have been? How often have I turned my back on God and what I knew was right and instead pursued selfishness, vanity, foolishness, self-reliance? Too often. Too often. There's another thing this middle section reminds me of, and that is, it reminds me of the Apostle Paul. And it reminds me of the truth that while there are evil men in the world who plot evil against the people of God, no one is beyond God's saving grace. So even as we speak the truth about evildoers, liars, plotters of iniquity, we can still pray for their salvation, and we can still witness to them as much as we have opportunity to do so, because the Apostle Paul really wasn't that much different from Doeg in that he should have known better. He knew the truth about Jesus, but he denied it, and he instead chose to plot evil against the people of God until Jesus stopped him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And now we get to my favorite image. How foolish are those who refuse to find refuge in God? How foolish are those who trust in their own riches? But I am like a green olive tree. Notice again, verse 8 begins with this wonderful word, but. Late R.C. Sproul said, it's the most powerful word in the Bible, most important word in the Bible. Whenever you're reading a passage, look for the hinges of those passages. There were two of them, right? We had one, but God will break you down forever. So as we began the psalm, it was all about what Doeg is plotting and what Doeg is boasting. And the first hinge, the first but was, but God will break you down forever. And then the second but is, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. As you're reading anything, if you look for that little word but, which is sort of the hinge of the passages, it really is a powerful way of looking at and studying the Bible. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. This is one of my favorite images in all of Scripture and in the Psalms, this idea that we being like a green olive tree. You see, Psalm 1 talks about, you know, being like a tree planted beside a stream of water, and its leaf always prospers, and whatever he does, he prospers, right? Leaf is always green. But this one is a quiet and a steady and a peaceful image. And I have a very clear picture in my mind that I associate with this because of the only time I can think of that I saw a green olive tree in a house of sorts, and that is up at Longwood Gardens. Up at Longwood Gardens, there is a green olive tree in a greenhouse, right? And so we have, this picture of peace and tranquility. And it's one of my favorite places in Longwood Gardens. And when I go into that room of the greenhouse, I usually stop and just stand and just look at the olive tree. And I think about Psalm 52:8, that I am like that. I am, by God's grace, not by my own doing, but by God's grace, I am like that green olive tree in the house of God, at peace, at rest, secure, safe, and flourishing. May not always feel that way. Look, David's running for his life when he writes Psalm 52. David is fleeing from King Saul, and he's going to be on the run for years. It's going to be years of fleeing before David is finally able to take the throne that God has anointed him for. But in his spirit, in reality, in eternity, in the inner man, he is like a green olive tree in the house of God. He is trusting in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good. Here it is. Whenever we're going through anything, and we've all talked about what a crazy year this has been, right? Whenever we're going through anything, we can trust God, we can thank God, and we can wait for God. There's three things we can always do. And that's what David's doing here. Fleeing for his life, his mighty men rallying around him, being pursued by the king of Israel, being betrayed by Doeg the Edomite. But he says, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God because I do three things. So you want to be a green olive tree in the house of God? You want to get that mental picture in your soul and be anchored and secure and safe? Three things. Trust God, thank God, and wait for God. That means we don't trust ourselves. That means we don't grumble and complain. And that means we don't force things to happen according to our timing and our agenda. We trust God. We thank God. and we wait for God. And if we are doing those three things, then no matter what the outward circumstances of our lives may be, we will be a green olive tree in the house of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. You are so kind, so gracious, so merciful. Father, forgive us for the many times when we must confess that we don't take our refuge in you, but we look to ourselves and we either boast or we panic. Because when we look to ourselves, what else can we do but boast or panic? We either think we've got it in hand and we think we're so great and we boast in ourselves, or we realize we don't have it in hand and we're not so great and we begin to panic. Father, forgive us for this foolishness, for this absolute foolishness. And let us trust in you. Let us find our refuge in you. May we trust in you. May we give thanks to you. May we wait for you. For you are our God and our Father. And you care for us more than we care for ourselves. And you are stronger than we could ever imagine. And you are wiser than we could ever know. And your timing is always perfect, even when it's very different from our own. And so we look to you, Father, in trust, in thankfulness, and in patience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have a wonderfully blessed day, and I hope you'll walk in the reality of these final truths that we looked at, to trust in the Lord, to thank the Lord, and to wait upon the Lord. God bless you.